Yesterday, the Pan-African Solidarity Network, UFT, hosted an interactive public forum focusing on the past and present legacies of the American occupation of Haiti and the ongoing struggles to rid the nation of all forms of oppression. Joining me on the line to speak about the forum and about Haiti is Ajamu Nangoya. Hello, Ajamu.
Hello, Omi. How are you doing?
I'm good. And yourself?
I'm pretty good, and thanks for providing us with the opportunity to speak on the question of Haiti.
Well, thank you very much for joining us and always being a supporter of this show. So to get started, 2015 marks the fifth anniversary of the devastating earthquake in Haiti. So can you tell us about the context that made this earthquake particularly detrimental to the island and intensify the aftermath of the earthquake?
Yeah, it's a long story in terms of what led to over 230,000 people dying from an earthquake that if Haiti had the development funds to, or the Haitian states had the capacity to regulate itself and also to facilitate economic development, you wouldn't have had such a large number of deaths. But Haiti came into existence in a very harsh and very punitive environment, because after its emancipation and from enslavement and essentially using armed struggle to expel the French, the British, and also the Spanish from interfering in its affairs, it was a reparation was imposed on it of 147 million gold francs from France as reparation or compensation for the loss of property on the part of the French enslavers. So that lasted until 1947. So Haiti didn't have the development funds to facilitate its social and economic development. And during that time, the United States essentially isolated or quarantined Haiti, had no diplomatic relations with Haiti. So it didn't emerge in an environment where it could trade with the nations of the world, especially its neighbor, the United States. So, you know, we're looking at a very challenging environment. So from the period where it had to pay reparations until 1947, the funds weren't available for it to engage in development. So even today, when you look at development funds going to Haiti, over 70% of the development funds are channeled outside of the Haitian state.
Just before we get to maybe the developmental challenges, I also wanted to maybe ask you to highlight quickly the political instability that's been forced onto the continent, especially with the forced ouster of Jean-Bertrand Aristide, for example. So even it's not even a question of access to development funds and having to repay unjustly, these countries, but also that purposely the country has been destabilized politically.
Oh yeah, absolutely, it has been destabilized because America, for the longest while, it supported a repressive regime, because in 1915 the United States invaded Haiti and it stayed there until 1934, and it imposed on Haiti, you know, a type of military regime that served the interests of the United States. So when in 1986, essentially through the popular mobilization of Haitians, they chased the dictator Jean-Claude Duvalier out of the country and elected Jean-Bertrand Aristide as the president. And he started to enact some reformist measures that would help the Haitian people in a wide range of areas, from education, health, to economic development, and also made an attempt to start to build infrastructure. But within less than a year, it was overthrown because of the expectations that he was that he gave rise to, and the attempt to embark on a different developmental model. So that happened. He was restored, then later elected as president. And again, he was overthrown in 2004, and this time very much with active participation of Canada, France, and Britain. Imperialism didn't want a model that would mirror what's going on in Venezuela and what we see develop in some Latin American countries today. So Haiti's underdevelopment, it has nothing to do with the people or their lack of capacity to engage in, you know, in really high level of economic and social development. It is something that's imposed on it by external forces, largely imperialism, mainly led through the United States.
And notably, the ouster plan of Jean-Bertrand Aristide was planned in Quebec, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, the meeting that initiated that started in Quebec, or started in just outside of Ottawa. So Canada was very much implicated in that. And within a year after that meeting, he was the government was overthrown.
Okay.
And as a result of that, we have an occupation which, while the United States, well, actually, U.S. has personnel, military personnel in the occupation force, but it's largely staffed by Latin American countries. So we have, it's almost, we're now into the 11th year of the occupation of Haiti.
And here you're speaking of MINUSTAH.
Yeah.
Yeah. So can you talk to us about this occupation of MINUSTAH on Haiti that, you know, continues to destabilize the country and does not allow it to kind of develop?
Well, the thing is that Haiti is very unusual with respect to having a United Nations force there. There's no civil war going on in the country. There are no warring parties that the United Nations forces are going to stand between. This was a force that came there to pacify the people, essentially call them into accepting the neoliberal capitalist agenda and to accept the post-coup regime, because the United Nations participated in repressive measures against the people of Haiti in order to accept, or at least to essentially remain passive in the presence of the occupation. They have involved in human rights violation, rape, just, you know, very much brutal actions against the people. So they are there to essentially guarantee the, I guess, environment, economic, social environment for the neoliberal policies that are being imposed on Haiti. But the people today, for months now, they're in the street pushing back against the regime that's there, that's guaranteed by Minister or the UN's occupation force. So the people of Haiti are not passive in the face of repression. And so far, they've been successful in forcing the dismissal of a prime minister there, but they're still pressing for the end to this regime that's there, and a regime that's been governing without elections. And for the UN, or for the UN, Canada, and Britain, they have accepted that in spite of public concerns that they've expressed, but they wouldn't have tolerated that if the regime was working in the interests of the people.
And a big part of this resistance, or a way that we can engage in this resistance, I guess is what I'm trying to say, is in terms of solidarity work. And for example, it's like the forum that the Pan-African Solidarity Network yesterday, for example, hosted at the University of Toronto. So can you tell us a bit about that in the last, like, maybe 2 minutes that we have, and also ways in which the Canadian population, African Canadians, can engage in that solidarity movement and that resistance?
Oh, yeah, that's a very excellent question. And yesterday's event, you know, it was, the space was provided by the Pan-African Solidarity Network, a student club, but the campaign for the campaign to end the occupation of Haiti was the organization that really put things together. So this is a campaign that started last year, and our aim is to mobilize and organize Canadian opinion, popular opinion, against the occupation. And there are a number of ways that we can do this. For one, you know, we can organize groups in our towns, on campus, in, you know, wherever we live, to lead the anti-occupation movement or struggle in our local communities. We also need to educate people, in the, especially in the membership-based organizations, about the occupation, about the neoliberal agenda that's been imposed on Haiti, and how people can incorporate that in the work of their organization. Because education is critical, you know, building that awareness of what's going on, and based on that, we can then move forward. I think campus organizations are very are a central part, a component of any movement that we're going to build nationally against occupation in Haiti, because as you can see, even with the Free South Africa movement, student organizations are very important, and as we're seeing currently with the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement against Israeli apartheid, again, students are very central to the work that we need to do. So we have to organize, we have to educate. It's also important that we link up with groups in Haiti that are fighting the repressive regime and fighting the neoliberal capitalist agenda inside the country, because the people are not passive. I believe material and moral support of solidarity is critical to furthering the struggle inside Haiti. And there's also something that we need to be mindful of is the introduction of cholera into Haiti by the United Nations. So far, about over 9,000 people have died from this cholera epidemic, and close to 800,000 infections have taken place inside Haiti. And the United Nations is refusing to take to accept liability for this cholera. It says immune under the UN's constitution, and a court in New York also affirmed that position, because there are groups organizing to sue the UN for causing that infection. So we need to take up that call to demand that the UN, you know, provide reparations to the people of Haiti for introducing cholera inside the country.
So Jamo, can you give us maybe, because we've reached the end of the time, but a website or an email address or where listeners can get more information and start to kind of get engaged in this campaign?
Okay. On social media, you can go and like the page for the campaign to end the occupation in Haiti. So you'll get access to a lot of information. And our email address is endtheoccupationofhaiti@gmail.com.
Great. And I'll definitely have that up on our blog for listeners to get more information. But Ajamu, I'd really like to thank you today for the interview and your continued support.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Take care.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye. And that was Jamu Nangweya from the Pan-African Solidarity Network, UFT, and he was speaking to us about the ongoing UN and American occupation of Haiti.